organization chapter from, we would discuss some issues related to Geirus that our Beis Din deals with that you may not necessarily see going through the regular sugyas, some of the more practical issues. So the first issue we're going to discuss this week is an issue that's not Geirus per se, but it's certainly in the orbit, and that is, what are the standards for somebody to come along and say that they're Jewish? So often it borders on a Geirus question simply because somebody comes and says, well, you know, I was told that I was Jewish, and I'm really getting into this whole Judaism thing, so what's my status? So we're going to address that question in general. You know, we deal with this whether we know it or not. We all, at some point, have thought about how do we know that we're Jewish. And to some extent, there has to be some standard in which we just say, yes or no. And for Geirus purposes, even to the point where somebody is going to go through the Geirus process, l'chumra, so do you make a brach on the tefillah? And other related questions, or if they're, and sometimes you have cases where the people are just not up to the standards to do a geirus. So if you can try to be mevar their yahadus, that might be more helpful. So there's two sugyas which kind of seem to be, Tosfos point out, are somewhat contradictory. And how we resolve that is kind of the mafteach to understand this whole discussion. So the Gemara says, based on the pasuk v'chiyah glur itcha ger, Tana Rabbana, Misha Bav Amar Ger Ani Yachol Nekablanu, Tamud Lomar Itcha B'muchsakocha. So can we accept somebody who says, I'm a ger? And the Gemara, based on the pasuk, says, Itcha, it says v'chiyah glur itcha, meaning he has to already be established as a ger. He can't come along and say that he is a ger. So Tosfos point out that this seems to, at least if you read it on the outset, it seems to be saying that you can't just come along and say that you're Jewish. At least let's make that the assumption for the moment. Tosfos quoted Gemara Pesachim. The Gemara says, "Avu Amad Avisag V'Achal Pesachim Yerushalayim." So you had this non-Jew who was eating the Korban Pesach every year, and he's Amar Kol Ben. Right, and he was talking to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, and he said, "You know, look, the Torah says Kol ben neichar liyochalba, and it happens to be the isser is on the Yisrael, meaning the isser of Kol ben the goy is not muzar in not eating Korban Pesach. The isser of Kol ben neichar liyochalba is for Yisrael to give the Korban Pesach to a non Jew." So he says, I get the best portion of the Korban Pesach every year. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira outsmarted him. He said, "Me kasafu lecha me'alia, did they give you the tail?" Meaning, you think you're getting the best portion? Not true. The best portion is the tail. Now, you can't eat the tail of the Korban Pesach. So he goes back to Yerushalayim, and he asks for the aliyah, and they look into him, and they find out that he's not Jewish, and they... And they kill him. That's a whole other discussion why they killed him. But they sent a letter back to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. And there's another question. You know, there's a lot of questions on the story. Why didn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira come every year to bring the Korban Pesach? But they sent a letter to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Yashkoach, Da'at ben Netzivin, and Mitzadasta Prusa Yerushalayim. You're all the way out there in Netzivin, and your net is spread over Yerushalayim. So, very good. So, Tosfos asks, why didn't they ask him for ID? Meaning, this guy is going every year to Yerushalayim to eat the Korban Pesach, and nobody checks him out. So, obviously, you see that you don't have to check for ID to eat the Korban Pesach. It sounds like anyone can come along and say that they're Jewish. Now, I'll amplify this question, okay, in modern-day terms. Okay, granted, it's on a different level. Eating the Korban Pesach, giving a non-Jew the Korban Pesach is a violation of Nisr D'oraisa. But if you ever made a minyan somewhere, and you don't verify that all the people in the minyan aren't Jewish, and you're the chazan, you end up making 19 brachas levatol. So what standard do we have to go to, right? Obviously, you know, you're in LaGuardia Airport. You see 10 people in the yarmulke. Nobody's saying, well, let me see your mother's ksuva before we start Ashrei. So what are the standards that we say? It sounds like somebody just comes along and they don't even have to actually say that they're Jewish. Meaning, it's not like somebody asked him. He just went up to a group of people, said, "Can I join your chabura?" They put him in the chabura. He ate the korban pesach. No questions asked. So Tosos in Yevamos says, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, when we say b'muksak l'cha, the dafka be a dina and dahave ovik l'chav meikara. Muksak l'cha, meaning, if he was already, there's a chazaka that he's a that he's not Jewish, then, if everybody knows that he's not Jewish, now he comes along and says, I am a ger, I converted, so we need proof. But if there's no question about his status, meaning nobody knows what he was beforehand, and he just shows up out of nowhere, nobody knows Jewish, not Jewish, so then, you know, we could assume that he's Jewish. And why is that? So Tosa says, "Ain lo marshaini hasam." Don't say that was a different case. Davi samcha, ruba davi Yisrael. Maybe just in that particular case with korban pesach, there was a rov. The habachol makom nami yikav ruba. The rov habon lefaneinu b'toras yadus Yisrael hein. That majority of people who come before us and say that they're Jewish, or you know, majority of people who show up to shul are Jewish. There's a rov. Somebody comes and is wearing a yarmulke and says, "I'm interested in participating in your minyan." So there's a rove that that person is Jewish. Tosos in Psachim has a different take on this. Tosos says, "Mikan ein raya shenam lechol abel fanin v'omer Yisrael ani the shiny hacha the rov Yisrael hayu." Meaning Tosos gives in Psachim the answer that Tosos in Yevamos rejects. Meaning, in Yevamos, we're saying most people who come before us are Jewish. Tosos in Psachim is saying, no, in this particular case with the Korban Pesach, so you have a sample of people who are in Yerushalayim. Of those people, majority of them are Jewish, and so any given individual from that group is Jewish. What's the difference between Tosos, the rove that Tosos in Yevamos is going on, and the rove that Tosos in Psachim is going on? Qualitatively, what's the difference? So we have two types of rove. There's a rove called a Ruba de Lesser Kaman and a Ruba de Isa Kaman. There's more. There's Ruba de Isa Kaman, Ruba de Lesser Kaman, and there's Bittel Barov. We're not going to discuss Bittel Barov. So Ruba de Isa Kaman means you have a group of items, and majority of them are X, and minority of them are Y, so we have a din of rove that we follow majority, that we assume that any given piece in that mixture, or not in that mixture, any given entity in that set can take on the status of the majority. Ruba de Lesser Kaman is a statistic. Majority of the times in a certain situation, you follow the statistical, you know, the statistical probability that you'll get the majority. So Tosus and Yevamos is saying, Rov Habon Lefaneinu Toros Yadus Yisrael Heim. There isn't a whole group of people. There's one person. We just want to know what that person's status is, and how do we determine that person's status? We say majority of people who come and say that they're Jewish are Jewish. And it has nothing to do with anybody else in the mix. Whereas Tosus and Psachim is saying that the rov in the case of the Korban Pesach was because you have, whatever, 600,000 people in Yerushalayim coming to eat the Korban Pesach. And we know that, I mean, you're already assuming a certain rove here, meaning we don't know, but we kind of know that of those people that are in Yerushalayim, so most of them are Jewish, so then any given person that comes out of that group, we could say is also Jewish. So that's a Ruba de Isa Kaman. And we'll discuss the differences in a little bit. But that's the opinion of Tosos. And Tosos himself agrees that there are other reasons why you should believe him that he's Jewish. And he says also that it's only someone who's mafsik as a gear, but I think it's important to point out that that these two roles are at play. The Yerushalmi doesn't take this approach. The Yerushalmi talks about a case where two people come from a faraway land. One of them is, and the faraway land, most of the people there are not Jewish, and everyone recognizes one of them as being Jewish, and the other one, nobody knows. So can the person who came, meaning Reuven, came with Shimon? Reuven, everybody knows, is Jewish. Now Reuven wants to testify that Shimon is Jewish. So the Yerushalmi says you can't do that because it's Eid Echad. You need two witnesses to testify. And here, Nimtzei is called Eidus Miskemes Be'Eid Echad. So the Machane Ephraim says that the reason why Eid Echad wouldn't work is because we're talking about personal status. We have a concept, Ein Davar Shaveh Erev B'Pachas Mishnayim, that on, and it depends how you translate that, Davar Shaveh Erev literally means matters of arayos. But if you can take a broader translation, which is what the Machane Ephraim is doing, and saying that Davar Shaveh Erev means anytime you want to change somebody's personal status, so you require to aid them. This person, again, it could be that here he's muchzik as a goy because he came from a place where there is no rov working for him. But nevertheless, the idea that Teva Sheva Erva acquires shnayim and personal status, meaning whether you're Jewish or not, is a Teva Sheva Erva, would be a significant thing. Just one practical situation. Let's say somebody was nisgayer. He comes along and he says, "I was nisgayer," and we knew him to be a non-Jew previously. And now he comes along and says he's nisgayer, so we can't believe him. But let's say he has a letter from one of the dayanim who served on the bezdin. So the menahal of the bezdin writes the letter. You know, I can testify to him being Jewish. I was there at tefillah. So it could be that according to Machane Ephraim, that wouldn't be enough because it's a Davash Be'erva, the in Davash Be'erva post Mishnayim, and so you'd need an actual Maisa Besdin, which is what the common practice is, to write an actual document signed by the three Dayanim as opposed to just the rabbi writing a letter that I supervised the whole thing, and that Ploni and Ploni were the Dayanim. The Rambam says, Aval Misha Bava Amar Shahay Akum V'Nisgay B'Besdin Neman. If somebody comes along and says, "I was a non-Jew and I was in the sky of a Besdin," he's believed, meaning nobody knew previously that he wasn't Jewish. Everyone assumed he was Jewish. He comes along and says, "Yes, I was not Jewish, and then I was in the sky." So that's fine. But that only applies to Eretz Yisrael, that only applies in Eretz Yisrael in earlier times. But in Chutz La'aretz, Tzavil Havi Raya. But in Chutz La'aretz, you have to bring a Raya, V'achar Kachisa Yisraelis, and then he can get married. And Yomer Shizu Ma'ala B'Yuchsin. And I say that's Ma'ala B'Yuchsin. So why is it that there's a distinction between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz? So the Magen Mishnah quotes the Tosos, and he says that the difference is that in Eretz Yisrael, at least in earlier times, that you had Kol Yisrael Shom. I think Kol here means Rov. I mean, there were non-Jews in Eretz Yisrael, even at the time of the Mikdash, but there were Rov Yisrael. The Meiri also, the Meiri quotes a number of Shitas, but at the end, Udolian Machaber Machriyan Bedavar, because most people in Eretz Yisrael are Jewish, and that obviously only applied in certain times and certain places. But in Chutz La'aretz, he's not Neman. So if you take the Rambam, you see that if you take this pshat in the Rambam, that the distinction between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz is based on Rov. But that's not a Ruv Delesa, come on. That's not anyone who comes before us, Betoros Yadis, is Jewish. That sounds like a Rov of a Ruv de Issa, come on. That you have, the population of Eretz Yisrael as a whole is Jewish. So if you find an individual person who pops out of that Rov and says he's Jewish, so we can believe him. But in Chutz La'aretz, where most people are not Jewish, you cannot believe him. However, the Chuvas HaRambam writes, And again, you'd have to explain the line that ani omer shezu ma'al b'yuchsin, meaning me'ikar adin, it's not even required. That even in chutz la'aretz it should be okay, and just because of yuchsin, we somehow, we distinguish between places where there's a rov and there's not a rov. The Rambam in a tshuva says, and he says, if you look at the second to last line, she'ein batei dinim kvuim b'chol makom b'chutz la'aretz. It sounds like it's not a question of rov, but it's a question of the standards in chutz la'aretz. If you have, depends on the time and place, but throughout the generations, they didn't necessarily have batei dinim set up in a way that could handle gerus properly, and so we're concerned that he went to a place that didn't know what they were doing, and maybe didn't use three dayanim, or didn't do a tefillah properly, or whatever. You're learning through all the halachas now. There are many ways to botch a gerus. So we're worried that one of those things happened, and so in chutz la'aretz, somebody says that I was nisgayer, so we don't believe him. So that's a different approach than the way the Magen Mishnah and the Meiri presented. I guess for a different time, you can discuss what happens when you have a Rambam and the classic Meforshim say one pshat in the Rambam, and then we discover a Tshuva's Rambam that has a different pshat in the Rambam, but not for now. Okay. So that's the Tosfos and the Rambam represent kind of the majority approach, that we do believe somebody to say that he's Jewish, either based on Ruv the Isakaman, Ruv the Lesakaman, or we'll see other Svaras. There is a minority opinion, the Tur quotes the Adramah, that you cannot believe somebody, at least for the purpose of marriage, that if somebody comes from an unknown family, we have to look into it and make sure there are no psulei kahal. And the Tur disagrees. The Tur says we don't have to worry about psulei kahal. We only have to worry about psulei kahuna. The Bach says that the Tur is right. And how do we know this? Because somebody who comes along and says that they're Jewish is believed. And if we believed him, then obviously we're not looking into him. So that's the Bach's interpretation of the Tur. You could distinguish, meaning you could say that, yeah, we'll believe the person who comes along and says I'm Jewish, and we'll count him for a minyan, and we'll let him get an aliyah, and all these things when it comes to getting married, so we have a higher standard. The Beis Shmuel suggests such an approach, that somebody comes from an unknown family, at least, that we can't just let him get married, we have to do some investigation. Rav Shlomo Kluger and Ha'el Fochel Shlomo says that that's not our minog. Not Choshish for the Beis Shmuel. The Aruch HaShulchan says that if a whole family comes, we're not going to look into them, but if an individual comes and he's from a faraway place and he's not connected to any family, then we do have to do some investigation. And the most prominent shita in this regard is the Bar Hetev quoting the Tshuva's Beis Hillel. This is quoted in a lot of the literature on this topic, that there was a Takanas Lita, that if somebody comes from a place and we don't know who they are, so before they get married, we have to do some berurim on that matter. Rav Ovadia Yosef rejects that as well. He points out that the Shulchan Aruch only says that we have to investigate when there's a specific rumor. Again, you could say that there's a takanas lita, that meaning that me'ikar, that you do not have to investigate into families for marriage purposes. But that's how Rav Ovadia paskens. Okay, so that was just to lay out the shitas. I just want to get into the analysis of this. Meaning, why is it that we believe someone who's Jewish, and how does this play out on a practical level? Meaning, if we think about Ruv the Isakaman, Ruv the Lesakaman, or other various svaras. So the Gemara in a few places, in Yevamos, on Kuf Yates, which is in the Sur Sheet, in Chulin, on Daf Yud or Yud Aleph, talks about the difference between Ruv the Isakaman and Ruv the Lesakaman, and kind of lines up, which one is better. So the Gemara is talking about a woman, the case in the Mishnah is a couple goes to Chutz Laaretz, and he has a co-wife who remains behind. So let's talk about the co-wife as the one who went with the husband. So the husband and the co-wife go to Chutz Laaretz, and the woman receives word that her husband died. So if the second wife who went along had a child, so then there's no requirement for Yibum or Chalitza. If not, then there is a potential. If not, then there is a chiyuv of Yibum or Chalitza. But we don't know what happened with the child. So the Gemara asks, why can't, and the Mishnah says that she can't get married until, she can't just rely on the chance that maybe they had a child. So Bishlama, Yibu Melod Dilma Me'avar B'kam Pagavishas Achter Araisa Eloti Nasei Amai Halach Achar Rov Nashim Misabros V'Yoldos, meaning most couples, they eventually have a child, and I guess enough time elapsed that Rov should apply. So Gemara says Lamer Rabbi Meir He Dechai Shlom Yuta. Maybe that's Rabbi Meir. The Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. I feel Tamer Rabbanan Ki Yosar Rabbanan Vaser Ruba the Isa Come On Ki Gon Teisha Chanuyos Sanhedrin Rabban Ruba the Lesa Come On Lo Asli Rabbanan Vaser Ruba. So the Gemara throws out this idea that it's very nice you want to follow Rov. Even Rabbi Meir is always concerned for the minority. But what about Rabbanan who disagrees? So Rabbanan they follow Rov. So Gemara says, but maybe they only follow Rov by Ruv de Isa Kaman. Meaning you have ten stores. Here's nine stores. Nine stores are selling kosher. One store is selling treif, and there's meat that's in the parking lot, and we don't know which store it came from. So that there's a subset. There's ten stores. There's a subset of stores. So we know that it had to come out of one of the stores, and majority rules tells us that it came out of the nine. But what about a Ruba de Lesa? Come on. This isn't there's no subset here. This is statistics. You look in a medical book and you see how long does it take for the average couple to conceive a child and have a baby. So you're following simple statistics, so maybe not. So maybe Rabbanan don't follow Rove. So the Gemara says no. The Rabbanan follow Rove even in that case. And we're not going to go through the rest of the sugya. Meaning the Gemara already gives preference, at least, to Ruba de Isa Kaman over Ruba de Lesa Kaman. So why is that? And this is also not, for those who learned Yoruday, this is not a Pashut question, because there are indications that in some instances Ruba de Lesa Kaman is better than Ruba de Isa Kaman. Rabbi Gevager talks about, Eid Echad Negat Arov, that maybe Ruba de Lesa Kaman is stronger than Ruba de Isa Kaman, but here the Gemara, for this particular idea, says that Ruba de Isa Kaman is stronger than Ruba de Lesa Kaman. So Rav Yosef Engel explains the following, that when you have 10 stores and 9 are selling kosher, 1 is selling treif, obviously if you go inside the store, the meat in the store is treif. But when we deal with the rov, so we can kind of say that the one takes on the character of the other nine. The better case is the Sanhedrin. You have a Beis Din, and two people vote one way, and one person votes the other way. A Psak Din needs three Dayanim to give a Psak. So the two people are in the majority, and one person in the minority. The minority opinion takes on the opinion of the majority. Whether he likes it or not, he becomes part of the Beis Din, and the Beis Din as a whole paskins that this is the halacha. So that's when it comes to Ruba de Isa Kaman, we can kind of ignore the minority. We could say that the minority is either non-existent or at the very least it's an outlier. But when it comes to a Ruba de Lesa Kaman, it's hard to say that the minority doesn't exist, meaning it didn't exist before and it doesn't exist now. It's only a statistic, meaning there's nothing to take away. It's not there in the first place. It's just what's going to happen in the future when, is it going to rain when it says 70% chance of rain? So the rain is either there, meaning it's either going to happen or it's not going to happen. So you can't nullify, so to say, the minority in that case. And that's why Ubadisa Kamon might be a stronger idea. Nevertheless, Ruba Lesser Kamon, when it comes to Yuchsin, might be stronger. And that's based on a comment of the Chazon Ish. There's a sugya in Ksuvas and Daf Tezvav about a Tinok HaMushlach. Right? You find a baby in a basket in front of a firehouse. So what's its status? So the Gemara, the Mishnah says, the Mishnah Machshirin says that if it's coming from a place where it's Rov Yisrael, it's a Yisrael. If it's Rov Akum, it's an Akum. If it's Mechta, so then he's a Suffolk. But the Gemara has a discussion about this. The Gemara says that Lehinyan Yuchsin, that you can't let this person marry a Jew, even though it's Rov Yisrael. So the person will have the status of being Jewish, but he can't get married until we do more investigation. Now, the Shulchan Aruch makes it a little complicated because the Shulchan Aruch starts, this is the Rambam really, starts from the perspective that this child is already considered an Asufi, where there's a specific Zera in Rabbanan that we don't let the Asufi get married because we don't know who his parents are, and there may be other issues besides the fact that he's not Jewish, there may be other issues at play as well. And the Gemara in Ksuvos talks about this concept of Trei Rubi, that maybe for Yuchsin, you need to have two roves coming together. That Cherubi, I'm not doing justice explaining like this, but it's kind of like a Svek Sveka, just that both of the, instead of having two Svekas, you have two roves, meaning that there's two reasons to be matir this person based on a rove, that there's two independent majorities that would allow you to move ahead and assume that there are no issues with this person's status. Okay? So the Chazon Ish says, "Maksino de Samchinan Achad Ruva be Yochsin Heichad Lo Shayach Gzeira." That will rely on one robe when it comes to Yochsin when there's no specific Gzeira, like a Mitzri, Amoni, Moavim, Zan, Zemishim, Kol Parsh, Ruva Parsh. V'chein Habav Amar Yisrael Ani Masin Lo Isha Mishum Rov Habayin B'Torah Yadus Yisrael Ninu. Kamoshe Kasev Tosef V'Givamos. So a number of contemporary poskim say, and it's hard to read this into the Chazon Ish because he talks about Mitzri, Amoni, Moavi, and Kol Parsh, Ruva Parsh, but they say that maybe the Chazon Ish is distinguishing between a Ruva Yisa Kaman and a Ruva Blessed Kaman. Meaning, if you have the Tinok HaMushlach, you have this baby and you found him in the street, and you're basically determining his status just based on the fact that how many people, you know, in the city are Jewish and how many are not, so that's based on probability, on Ruva Yisa Kaman. And therefore, you can't rely on that for Yuchsin. When it comes to Ruba de Lesser Kaman, a statistic, Rov HaBon Yisrael, B'Toros Yadus Ninu, then we can rely on the Rov, and you can allow him to get married. So that's a very important, assuming you learn the Chazon Ish, that's a very important point. Meaning, somebody who comes along and says that they're Jewish, we don't have to impose this special restriction on him getting married. It's not just for letting him be part of the minyan and letting him, down for the amud, get an aliyah, all the other things that that would affect us. But even to get married, if you read the Chazon Ish like that, then that would be a significant reason to be mekel if he comes along and says that he's Jewish. Now, the Ran, in learning this sugya, going back to the sugya in Pesachim, writes, Meham Ashma, the Misha Balafanid Ram Yisrael Ninu, Vein Tzarech Raya, Velo Tema Dafka Ki Hachad Ruba Yisrael Ninu. Not because of a robe, Ela Fila Bechutzar Tzilav Ruba Yisrael Ninu. Even if there's no robe. So what's his Svar based on? So some say it's based, the Ritva says that that it's based on Milsa Davida Legluye, Velo Meshaker. Meaning, somebody comes along and says that they're Jewish. Eventually, we're going to find out, like this fellow in Pesachim, we're going to find out that he's not Jewish. He's going to get caught. And so generally, people don't lie and say that they're Jewish because it's only going to backfire later on and it's going to cause them problems down the road. So why do some Rishonim go with this approach as opposed to Rove? So Mordechai Ilan points out, Rav Mordechai Elan was a dayan in Tel Aviv. This tshuva in source 25, it's a long tshuva. It kind of, everyone quotes it subsequently. It kind of lays the framework for Bir Yahadus and the Bati Din in Eretz Yisrael. So he says, Milsa David Ogluye is better in that Rove is not always going to apply in all situations. You're not going to have a Rove, let's say, in Chutz La'aretz. That's what the Ron points out. So you have to resort to something else, Milsa David Ogluye. On the other hand, Milsa David Ogluye is not going to work in all situations either, because, you know, I'll discuss this in a minute. Like, majority of the cases that at least in Eretz Yisrael, they have their own issues. In Eretz Yisrael, they have, if you come along and say that you're Jewish, it's not just for the purpose of letting them daven for the Amud and Shul or counting for a minyan. It's because of the Chok HaShvut. You can get to make Aliyah. You get to play on the Israeli baseball team, and you get a million zchuyot from being a citizen of Israel that you wouldn't get in Russia or wherever you came from. So they have their own complications, and there's motivating reasons for people to say that they're Jewish even though they're not Jewish. Here it's more somebody honestly just doesn't know. You know, they looked into their family history. They have no idea what's up or down. They have the paperwork, but they don't know who's Jewish, who's not Jewish. You can't say Milsa David Ogluye in that situation, because the person himself is asking you, am I Jewish or am I not Jewish? So you're not going to find out anything more than what the person gave you or the birurim that you did. So the ne'emanus in that situation for Milsa David Ogluye is it's difficult. But what are the practical differences between Rov and Milsa David Ogluye? So Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes that if somebody comes and they don't speak Yiddish, so we can't apply the Rov, because if he doesn't speak Yiddish, so he's obviously part of a minority. Meaning we're saying Rov Yisrael Havan Lefaneinu B'Torah Z'Yadus. I mean, most people come along and say that they're Jewish, must be Jewish. But if there's some reason to believe that they're part of a minority, for example, they don't speak Yiddish, so then they're part of the minority. Again, Rav Chaim Volozhiner was in the 200 years ago. The Chazon Ish says that doesn't apply nowadays, that we already recognize that not everybody who's Jewish speaks Yiddish, and it depends where they come from. But there are other considerations that need to be addressed. Let me skip Moshe for a second. Like Rav Yitzchak Herzog writes in Heichal Yitzchak, that if somebody's father isn't Jewish and he claims that his mother's Jewish, so do we say that a rov applies, or do we say that rov Yisrael Ban Lefanei V'Toros Yadus is one rov, but connected that rov Jews marry other Jews? So if you have intermarriage in the mix, maybe this person is already Yatza Min HaRov. He's not part of the majority anymore, and therefore you can't rely on rov. And that's a very, very practical question, because a lot of the cases that where people are trying to figure out whether they're Jewish or not involve intermarriage. If everyone in the family is Jewish and there was a specific hakpada, even if they're not necessarily observant, but there's going to be a lot of, generally it's not going to be somewhere in the middle, meaning if everyone in the family is Jewish, there's going to be more than just, you know, my grandmother had a Jewish name. There'll be other things in there as well, the candles, or going to shul on Rosh Hashanah, or something. Whereas if there's intermarriage, then, you're already dealing with mixed practices and other things, and so it's harder to verify, even to get indications that there's Jewish, there's Yadis in the family. Rav Moshe, and you could argue this, Rav Moshe says you should not argue it, though. You could argue that if there's no observance of mitzvahs in the families, then they're also yatsu min harov, that there's no rov anymore, because most Jews who come b'toras yadus observe Torah mitzvahs. Rav Moshe says that's not a requirement. And part of that is, he says, nobody would come along and say that they're Jewish in a time when there's tremendous persecution. So there's no advantage of saying that you're Jewish and subjecting yourself to such persecution. So that Rov exists on its own. Again, we'd have to, I think the contemporary poskim analyze this in the context of now that people are trying to do it. They get, especially in Eretz Yisrael, they get certain zchuyot. Or if a person is trying to marry a specific individual and wants to get, you could have two ways. Somebody wants to get married in Israel, and they need a letter from a rabbi in Chutz Loretz, because the rabbi in Eretz Yisrael doesn't know them. So they call up the local rabbi in Florida, who's going to do a biryadis for them. So there's a motivating factor already for them to say that they're Jewish, even if they're misrepresenting themselves. So you have to just be careful for that. So that's one nafkamina. If the person is yatza min harov, if the person is not part of the rov, do you have to do? Can you still rely on that? The other thing is that when you have, do you have to try to verify the claim? Do you have to do birurim? So when it comes to Ruba de Lesa Kaman, we generally have a rule that if it's a Mir HaMatsui, so we have to be Bodek. So we have the Ran and Pesachim point this out, and in Hulin the Rishonim pointed out when we say Rov Matsui Neitzel Shchita Mumchaheim. This is the first, for those who learn Yerodea, the first Siman in Shulchan Aruch Yerodea, that most people who step up to the plate to do a Shchita, they know what they're doing. But there's a minority who don't know what they're doing. So do we have to be bodek the shochet and see if he, to check him out to see if he's qualified, or do you just, you see the carcass on the floor, you saw the guy do the shchita, is that enough? So if he's lefaneinu, if he's available and you can check him out and ask him hilchos shchita, then you have a chiyuv to do that, and if not, not. So that's what's explained, that it's based on the idea that, yeah, not everybody who does shchita, rov mitzuyin eitzel shchita mumchaim. Most people who do shchita know what they're doing. There's a minority who don't, and you have to check for the minority when it's a mir hamatzui. When there's a significant minority, you have to check that out. So for other areas of halacha, we say that mir hamatzui is somewhere, Rav Shechter always likes to say, somewhere between 7.5% and 15%, depending on which shita you follow. I think he prefers the 10%. So I don't know. I'm not sure if we would necessarily say that here, that we can just ignore. Even if we do find out that it's less than 10% of people misrepresenting ourselves, but I could probably say that more than 10% of people are representing themselves as Jewish, even though they're not. So even though we rove abamal panim toras yadus are. Are Jewish, but they're still a minority, and you have to check, and so you do the best of your ability to look into the situation and check it out. What are the limitations of Milta de Vidal Gluye? So the Maharit says that we only rely on Milta de Vidal Gluye if he's from a place where we'll actually get back to him, or that his reputation's on the line. So he's talking about a Cohen. Somebody comes along and says he's a Cohen, and he comes from Brooklyn, from a prominent shul in Brooklyn, let's say. So, you know, after a while, somebody from that shul is going to show up to this shul and say, wait a second, you know, when he was living in Brooklyn, he never got the Cohen Aliyah. He was always Shlishi. How did they all of a sudden make him a Cohen? So that's a Milsa David Lului. He's going to get busted, so to say. You have to figure out, in any particular case, what are the consequences, or is it even possible that we're going to find out? If somebody comes from some little town in Central America, and there are no Jews left in that town, there's no Milsa David Lului in that situation. So you have to... And you know, you have to figure out with the internet and Facebook, maybe the, you know, there is more of a Milsa David Lui, depending on the person's situation, that everybody knows him online as being not Jewish, and now all of a sudden he comes along and says that he's Jewish. So if he's smart enough to figure that out, and maybe it would work in certain situations. So that's... So that's something to consider as well. As a matter of practical halacha, the chief rabbinate of Eretz Yisrael has a certain set of protocols to follow. Rav Yosef is more mikel, I think, than what's the standard protocol. He says that Shemeikra Dina Olam Erusim Atzirin Shem Yehudim, somebody who comes from Russia says that they're Jewish. They are Ne'emanim Umikol Makom Im Yesh Reglaim LaDavar Shehatzaros Meinin Nechona. If there's reason to suspect that something's off, then you have to look into it. Rav Yitzchak Kuczynski wrote this paper, Orchos Mishpat. He has a whole piece about this, and he suggests, he quotes a number of shitas, contemporary shitas in this. First he quotes over Yashiv, who says that rov is a nice concept when you're in your kitchen or when you're dealing with individual matters. But, can you imagine a kashrus organization saying, Mistama, the guy, we could trust him. Most people who wear a yarmulke don't trip up anything, so we could rely on that for kashrus. You can't really rely on rov on an institutional level to determine everything. So in the same way that the kashrus organizations have to check out to make and not just rely on rov to make sure that the food is kosher, so too, but they didn't, and anyone who's involved on an institutional level in dealing with whether somebody's Jewish or not, and I think that would include a Masader Kedushin, meaning somebody who's doing Kedushin for someone is not just doing it as an individual. He was asked to be the rabbi, to represent the whole wedding. So it's his obligation to do what he can to be Mavar, whereas, you're making a minion in LaGuardia Airport, you don't have to do these birurims simply because there you can rely on rov. It's not a professional matter. Then he quotes from Moshe, who says that there are three ways to determine Yahadus. He was talking about for Russian Jews. If you have two out of three, you're good. One is if the Russian government wrote down that you're Jewish, Soviet government. Two is if they have Jewish names, and three is if they speak Yiddish or Jewish language. So if you have two out of three of those indications, that was Moshe's criteria to determine whether they're Jewish or not. And then he quotes from Yitzchak Kulitz that if somebody says Yisrael, honey, you have to figure out why does he know it, meaning maybe he... In the Gemara sugi, we're talking about somebody, we're trying to figure out whether he's lying or not, but if the person is honestly coming and saying, I'm a Yisrael, so, maybe he doesn't know himself what we could find out. So you have to look into that as well. So, just to summarize, we saw 2 days in Tosus about the Neimanus to say that you're Jewish. Could be either based on Reuben Yisakamon or Reuben Lesakamon. We spoke about the Nafkaminas between Reuben Yisakamon and Reuben Lesakamon, whether it applies that Reuben Lesakamon might be better for Yuchsin purposes to marry a non-Jew. The Rambam, again, we said according to the Magen Mishnah and the Meiri, seems to be based on Reuben Yisakamon, but the Rambam and the Tshuva seems to say it's more of a Yuchsin issue. That was a Chumrah for Geirus. And we discuss the contemporary poskim and how they deal with this, and how there's some obligation, at least most of the but they didn't try to do some beirurim to figure out if what the person is saying can be backed up by either documentary evidence or other indications that would make us feel more comfortable in knowing that the person.